Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
We are recapping last night's thrill ride and looking ahead to 8 NFC home games, not including the Monday night game. We did that one on yesterday's show. Welcome, everybody, to the Fantasy Football Today Road Tour presented by Little Caesars. Pizza for dinner tonight? How about ordering your favorite online from Little Caesars and using Pizza Portal Pickup? It's the latest, greatest, and hottest way to pick up a pizza without even going to the register. And yeah, that sounds damn good. There might be some pizza in my future. We are going to tell you why it should be a good week for Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm going to make a case for Tyrell Williams, kind of a lukewarm case for Williams at Minnesota. Are we starting all of our Bucks? We have a FanDuel contest for everybody to join now. That's awesome. And we have some players to stash this week. And speaking of stashes, guys, Gardner Minshew. What a segue. That's good.
Yeah, he's great. He's fun.
Fun, yes.
I would almost say that the Jaguars should not play Nick Foles. He's better.
He's definitely better than Marcus Mariota.
Ryan Tannehill's better than Marcus Mariota.
He might be.
Is there a current Dolphins quarterback better than Marcus Mariota?
Might be.
Are there two Dolphins quarterbacks better than Marcus Mariota?
To be fair to Mariota. There were some opportunities there that his receivers did not help him with, but that was it was an ugly game. Jacksonville 20, Tennessee 7, and some fun stats today. Some big news updates. We could be starting Jordan Wilkins this week. Maybe Nyheim Hines, but I'll ask you guys. Jordan Wilkins over Nyheim Hines?
Yes.
Yeah.
Marlon Mack is questionable. I asked for some Gardner Minshew team names from our listeners, so here we go. Well, I came up with Gardner Minstash. TM. It's pretty good. Gardner Minstash. Okay, other ones. Fu Minshew. Minshew Pork. Gardner Mustache. Big League Shoe. The Constant Gardner Minshew, Olive Gardner, Disco Shoe, Shoots and Ladders, Taming of the Minshew, Shoebaka, Minshooter McGavin, there we go. Minshew Piku, 2.5 Minshew.
Shouldn't it be Minshewbaka?
Minshewbaka, is it Pichu? Manchu Pichu or Piku? Pichu, I think. Old Lady Pichu. Who Lived in a Shoe, Nice to Minshew, An Officer and a Gentleman Shoe, Cuckoo Kashoo, and Gardner Go By.
That's great. There's the winner.
Yeah, Gardner Go By is terrific. Let's talk about this new team name, Jamie. Yeah, please. You got to all of them. Jacksonville 20, Tennessee 17. Go!
DJ Chark. He's their best receiver now. D.D. Westbrook, like you said, he dropped the easy touchdown. And, you know, it's nice to see the targets there for him again, but it's pretty clear that Minshew is not going to settle for check down passes like Nick Foles would have or Blake Bortles did. He's going to take some shots, and he's pretty good at throwing the ball. So, you know, I think if you're in this quarterback quandary as we're entering the bye weeks, you're going to look at him next week. It's a tough matchup going into Denver, so we'll see how he performs there. But at this point, it's now 2 of 3 games where he's appeared in that he's got at least 20 or more fantasy points, and he was pretty good in that game against Houston as well, fantasy-wise. Wasn't awful, at least. So I think he's got the opportunity here to be a potential streamer for you, for sure.
Yeah, he had 17 fantasy points at Houston. He did some running in that game, 6 for 56. He can move a little bit at Denver next week. So Chark, 60% owned. I mean, Westbrook, you could still be encouraged because he had 9 targets. He had 3 drops. He dropped a touchdown. So that was good stuff. And
But he's clearly behind Chark at this point.
Well, I agree, but I think some naysayers could say, well, he had 4 more targets, and if he caught the touchdown, maybe we wouldn't be saying that.
Yeah, right. And I think people are going to see that stat line without watching the game, and they'll say, oh, I can drop this guy now.
Oh, he will be dropped.
You don't have to.
No, I'm not saying you should, but he will be. I mean, because he.
You could. I don't know if you should.
This is now.
That makes
sense. This is now saved by a touchdown week one and two poor performances fantasy-wise weeks two and three.
Still very involved in the offense. Still will have a role. Still will have some good weeks. So, yeah, not going to give up unless there's somebody better off the waiver wire, and then you make the move.
Which running back would you rather have rest of season, Leonard Fournette or Derrick Henry, both of whom were saved by a 6-point play, a touchdown for Henry and a 69-yard run for Fournette. So you'd rather have Fournette?
There's a different stat that separates these two. It's the catches. I mean, you know, Fournette had 6 for 26. The only thing that Fournette has not done so far this season is score touchdown. You know, so he hasn't been off to a great start. It was, like you said, he was saved by a 69-yard touchdown. A 69-yard run, but they're clearly giving him every opportunity to touch the ball. And so I think that's the thing you take away from this, that there will be some big games coming. There will be some touchdowns coming. And I'm perfectly fine with Fournette. And if anybody's selling, I'm buying.
I'll take Henry because they've been giving him the same amount of opportunities, just not through the air. And he's been doing better with them than Fournette has. And it's not to say that Fournette's been bad. You're asking me which one I'd rather have rest of the season. I'll take Henry. His offensive line is already okay. It's going to get better when Taylor Lewan gets back. They're going to have to do something at quarterback because they can't just keep going with Mariota playing like this. Maybe Ryan Tannehill ends up being good for their offense and he can help Derrick Henry stop seeing so many stacked boxes. And even with the way that Mariota's been playing, Henry's been putting up fantasy numbers. I don't like the way that Jacksonville's offensive line has been playing, or at least run blocking. I think it's hurting Fournette a lot. Fournette seems a little tentative and he's going to have better games. So I agree with the buy low sentiment. But I think Derrick Henry from this point forward will be better.
I was actually very upset.
Yeah, I would still say Henry's sell high candidate.
Okay, I was very upset that he had that 69-yard run because I would have said he's a great buy low candidate because I just didn't really care about the stats, the fact that he's getting so many touches. And he's on pace for 75 catches right now, and he's the only guy they use. I mean, that's just a great situation for Fournette. And then I think...
Yeah, I also think... I also think their offensive line is going to get better too. Last night was Cam Robinson's first game. I don't know if he played the full game going through it because they said at the beginning of the broadcast that he was going to potentially rotate out after the second series. So once he starts to get his feet wet, you're still getting, you know, Jawan Taylor as a rookie working in. So I think there's a lot to like about Fournette's setup moving forward.
So, yeah, the last thing. So Derrick Henry, I was pretty... I'm a naysayer on Henry, but if I did own Henry, I'd be encouraged. This was the game script that I feared so much. And they really didn't get away from him. They're just not using Deion Lewis. Like, I think they know, even when they're trailing, they're getting back in the game by running the football. They just, like, they have a bad quarterback. I'm sorry to say it. So I thought that was interesting that this was down 14-0 at halftime, down 17-0 going into the third quarter. And he basically was still getting much of the work until the final drive of the game. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
I don't think Henry's a bad fantasy option. I would prefer Fournette. Mm-hmm. And I think this is... You know, this is the scenario you have to deal with, that if he doesn't score, it's ugly. And there are going to be a few games like that.
And we've seen that from Fournette already, to be clear.
We have.
They're both good. Like, I really don't want to come out of this feeling like the guy who says that Leonard Fournette's bad.
He's
obviously going to have good games, but I just think Henry's going to be better.
Deion Lewis
I think I think Gardner Minshew and the way that he's been playing, I think that could potentially hurt Fournette too.
I think
in this game, he had 15 carries.
Tennessee was daring him to throw.
Yeah. Yeah. Deion Lewis did outsnap Leonard Fournette. Sorry for all the interruptions here. But he just didn't really get... Deion Lewis outsnapped Derrick Henry, sorry. But he didn't really get a lot of work. All right. Any other thoughts here? Are we good? Moving on.
This game hurt my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. How about this? Kyler Murray has thrown more pass attempts in two games than Marcus Mariota has in three games. And you missed the good game.
Surprising.
The good game last night was Houston Tulane. 53-yard touchdown pass in the final seconds after a fake kneel down. They looked like they were going to kneel to run out the clock, and they faked it. They ran a trick play. You can check out the highlights, I'm guessing, on CBS. I'm sure we have a write-up on it on CBSSports.com. Why not? All right. We have... a FanDuel League, ladies and gentlemen. A new contest each week just for our listeners. Only 595 entries. There are already like 20. I tweeted out a link this morning, so by the time you hear this, be a lot more people in there. So do not wait. If you want to join our FanDuel League, compete against us. And Dave and Jamie, you got to go join it right now. FanDuel.com /league/FFT. That's how to get in our league. It's $5 entry. First place gets $250. Only 595 entries per week, but we'll do it every week. So go to FanDuel.com/league/FFT. Now, if you're not lucky enough to join that contest, don't worry. Plenty of opportunity to win some money on FanDuel. And so the URL for the league is FanDuel.com/league/FFT. If you're just signing up for FanDuel, just take the word league out of there and go to FanDuel.com/FFT. Deposit $20 and get $20 of Insight credit, $5 per week for 4 weeks. It's a great offer. FanDuel.com/FFT. Play for however much money you'd like. Play for a dollar, play for a lot more, play in a 50-50, which is kind of, you know, an easier game to win, or play in a tournament for high stakes. I'm going in a tournament this week with Matthew Stafford. Got a great stat about what the Eagles are allowing to quarterbacks going back to last year. So just find the matchup you like, stack a team that could be a sneaky play, and win some money. Go to FanDuel.com/FFT, make a $20 deposit, get $5 in site credit for 4 straight weeks. So that's a $20 deposit and $20 in credit. FanDuel.com/FFT or the FanDuel app. Here are some stats for the NFC home games, and here's that stat that favors Matthew Stafford. You go back to last year, now 9 of the last 11 quarterbacks to face the Eagles have thrown for 297 or more yards. 9 of the last 11. The only two that did not were Mark Sanchez and Josh Johnson. So, wow. And Dave, I know you're, well, we talked about it a little bit yesterday in our 60 seconds ranking debates, but you are higher on Stafford than the rest of the crew.
It's true. I just got done watching their offense on all 22 on NFL Game Pass. And Stafford, just he's taking all kinds of shots downfield. Some of them are hitting, some of them are missing, some of them are getting picked off. But I think that's where they're going to move forward. I think Stafford's going to be the identity of this offense more than we gave him credit for during the preseason. And that should be a good thing. I think he has great numbers. And I think he's a good FanDuel play, too.
He's in my lineup. Juju Smith-Schuster, Jamie. This is an amazing stat. He's going up against the 49ers. 21 out of 24 wide receivers who had 6 or more targets against the Niners last year had 70 yards or a touchdown. That's an unbelievable rate. And so far this year, 3 out of 3 wide receivers who had 6 or more targets against the Niners had 70 yards or a touchdown. So maybe it's carrying over, but with Mason Rudolph, do you like Juju this week?
Yeah, you're still starting him. I mean, it's a downgrade to what his overall fantasy value is, but, you know, I don't see anybody benching Juju Smith-Schuster, or at least they shouldn't. You know, I got some questions last night about Chris Godwin versus Juju. I like Godwin better. Calvin Ridley versus Juju. In non-PPR, I would take Ridley. You know, there are some scenarios, I guess, that you have some better receivers on your team, but for the most part, in a vacuum, you're starting Juju, and hopefully he has the breakout game we've been waiting for. You know, it's been a little bit of a struggle through the first two games against New England and then losing Big Ben last week against Seattle. So there's a lot to like about him moving forward. He's a great buy-low candidate if you still get him for the people who are maybe paranoid that they don't get the Juju that you drafted because of Big Ben not being there. Try and pray on that if you can and see if you can get him cheap.
Tyrell Williams. Anybody interested in Tyrell Williams? The Vikings have allowed 100 yards or a touchdown to 4 wide receivers in 2 games. That's Julio, Calvin Ridley, Davante Adams, and Geronimo Allison.
Not this week. Not this week.
Yeah.
I think it's just, you know, this is a injured Tyrell Williams going against a little bit of a, I don't know, shell-shocked Vikings team, but, you know, a Vikings defense that, you know, kind of got pushed around a little bit last week, you know, comparatively to where they, you know, should have been against the Packers offense that was a little, you know, underwhelming in week one. So I think this is a game where they can sort of impose their will on the Raiders. You know, you have Josh Jacobs and Tyrell Williams, the two best offensive players for them coming in at less than 100%.
Brent Brown's hurt too on their offensive line. That's not going to help.
They are getting Richie Incognito back though, so that will help.
Peyton Barber, last stat here, and then we'll get into the games obviously in a bit. The Giants, they have allowed 3 rushing touchdowns in 2 games. They allowed the 5th most rushing touchdowns to running backs last year. They're just a bad defense. Bad defenses give up yards. Those end up being little touchdown runs. And
yeah, I think Peyton's a good flex, Adam. I don't know if I'm ready to trust him all the way as a number 2 running back. I think I'd have to be hurting at running back to do something like that. The matchup's good. I hope the Bucs continue to give him the ball. I just hope that they give one of these guys
right
the Brock consistently. So that way we know. and they don't do this whole hot hand thing, or, you know, watch this week be Dario Gumbawale week, and that's going to make it more frustrating for fantasy managers. So a little cautious on Barber, but yeah, the matchup is great.
Okay, so real quick, Barber or Gore, who's a better plotter this week?
I'd go Gore if Singletary is indeed out.
Okay. So speaking of which, news and notes. Marlon Mack missed practice with a calf injury. Three games without Mack last year. Now, they were early in the year. They were weeks 1, 2, and 5, I believe. Maybe 1, 2, and 4. Jordan Wilkins got much of the work. He had 14 carries, 10 carries, and 8 carries. Hines had 5 carries, 4 carries, and 4 carries. So, you know, Wilkins, he was not so good, except 10 for 61 at Washington. But, yeah, what do you think about the Colts running backs against the Falcons this week if Mack does not play?
I think that Wilkins would be a flex. I could see him getting, you know, not the same workload that Mack has been getting, but he leads the NFL in carries for a reason. You know, this is what their offensive identity is going to be, is to, you know, lean on their running backs, lean on their offensive line. You know, I mean, I've been saying that since they lost Andrew Luck, that that's the strength of this team. So, you know, I could see Wilkins 15 carries. You know, they're going to try and slow the game down. That's the way they're going to play this year. Is you saw it in the game against the Chargers in week one. They were trailing, they were chasing points, and it was still run from behind with Mack getting 25 carries. He's not going to be as explosive as Mack, although he had the big run last week. They like Jordan Wilkins, you know, so I think there'll be a situation where you can trust him if he's the starter.
So would you rather have Frank Gore or Jordan Wilkins if Mack is out and Singletary is out?
I think Gore, just simply because of the matchup.
Okay.
But I could see them having very similar stat line.
James Conner practiced in full. Josh Jacobs was limited in practice, and he's lost 10 pounds due to illness. Where do you guys have Josh Jacobs ranked?
I've got him 24th in non-PPR.
Yeah, not far from there, like 22, 23.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's only got one catch in two games. LeSean McCoy seems more likely to play than Damian Williams. Is that fair to say at this point?
Sure, well, he's practiced. He had a practice on Thursday. The hunch is that he'll practice on Friday. We'll see what Damian Williams does on Friday.
We previewed this game yesterday, so since we won't get to it today, give me your thoughts right now on the Chiefs running backs.
If McCoy plays and Damian Williams doesn't, he's a starter. If both are out, Darwin Thompson's a potential flex. Darrell Williams a long shot in deeper leagues. And if McCoy plays, then Thompson is someone you can use as a potential flex in PPR.
Let's say McCoy plays and Damian Williams does not. Would you start McCoy or Josh Jacobs?
McCoy.
And ahead of Jordan Wilkins?
Yeah. Yes, and ahead of Gore.
Okay. Devin Singletary missed practice. Sterling Shepard will almost certainly play this week.
And I'd start McCoy over Mixon.
Oh, all right. Josh Rosen starting for Miami. Any impact here?
If you're in a 32-team league, then play Taysom Hill over him.
According to Mike Garofalo of NFL Network, it would be, quote, a really good outcome if DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey are back by week 5. Nelson Agholor is the free space on FanDuel. He is $4,800.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, DraftKings, he's $3,600.
Yep.
Yeah, get him.
Yep.
Cortland Sutton missed practice with sore ribs. Cleveland cornerbacks Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams both have hamstring issues, so that could benefit Jared Goff. Jimmy Graham missed practice. He might not play against Denver. Cam Newton obviously seems unlikely to play, as we know. And David Njoku has a broken wrist. I don't know. I don't think I'm forgetting any injuries, but I will go through the injury report and see if I'm missing anything. Let's
you gotta keep an eye on, you gotta keep an eye on Antonio Brown again.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, but as of now, you're ranking him and expecting him to play, right?
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, this is just becoming a nightmare.
I'm glad you brought it up. Right now, if you have Antonio Brown, you were trying to trade him, what would you be looking for?
You know, it's funny because I
because you don't have him on any of your teams.
No, it's I'm just trying to think like on the other side of it. Like somebody comes off me Antonio Brown, I don't want him. So, like, I think the thing you'd expect in return is hopefully a borderline starter. Because I don't know how anybody can conceivably trade for him when there's a chance he may not be playing anytime soon.
It's what's keeping his value way down. He would be, if there wasn't any cloud hanging over his head, he'd be a top five fantasy receiver.
No.
Yeah, he would.
No.
Yes, he well, would. I know you guys disagree there.
Huge mistake.
I know.
If he's playing for the Patriots the rest of the season, he's a top five fantasy player the rest of the way.
No way.
Yes way.
Okay. I mean, those are the leagues you play in. That's good. Somebody wants to value him that way. God bless him.
I didn't say that's if there was no black cloud over his head. Obviously, the fact that he could be off the field at any time crushes his value. So no, he's not a top five fantasy receiver.
Even if there was nothing, he wouldn't be a top five.
Yeah, he would.
All right. Good. we don't have Heath.
Best ever.
We don't have Heath to sit in the middle.
A year ago, we were saying that about Antonio
Brown. I know. We weren't.
What do you mean? What's the argument now?
A year ago, were we talking about Antonio Brown as the best ever?
Oh, he's
and
one
we
of the,
talked about him as being
ever.
The most talented receiver in football.
He was certainly good.
Of course. Yes. He was the number one great. In drafts. Yeah. I mean, he was the man. He was the man now, dog. Okay, so would you give up DJ Moore for Antonio Brown?
No.
You'd rather have Moore?
Yeah. No, I'd rather have Brown.
Would you give up LeSean McCoy for Antonio Brown?
I'd rather have Brown.
That's a trade you should make.
Okay. All right.
31-year-old running back right. for a guy that's maybe not playing anything.
I'll take my chances with AB.
Would you give up Daniel Jones for Antonio? No, of course you'd keep Daniel Jones. All right. Beat the waiver wire. Next week, the Jets and the Niners are on bye. So one guy that's on bye that I'm going to say maybe beat the waiver wire is Deebo Samuel. He just might be good. And worth hanging on to even through a bye week, and he's 45% owned. Marquez Valdez-Scantling has been dropped in a lot of leagues. He's now 68% owned, and he gets Philadelphia next Thursday. I don't think you want to start MVS this week against Denver, but I still think there's, you know, I just don't think he should be 68% owned. They've just had a brutal schedule, first two games and now three games, very tough matchups. So if people are giving up on MVS, you know, I wouldn't be. And Golden Tate is 49% owned. Any other guys you want to stash? I'll get into like some of the just week four matchups, but just general overall long-term stashes.
I would start with Ito Smith because Devontae Freeman, first 2 weeks of the season, he hasn't looked good. Smith's looked better. Freeman should go off against Indianapolis, especially if Darius Leonard doesn't play. But if he doesn't, or if Ito Smith does, then that's somebody who could really make an impact on your fantasy squad. So I'm stashing him in a bunch of leagues. He's out there in about 60% of CBS Sports leagues. Just for week three, Devin Smith against Miami, replacing Michael Gallup. Amazing matchup. Maybe he catches a couple of deep passes. Ty Johnson in Detroit. Looks like he's the number two guy behind Kerryon Johnson. That's not a bad thing. He's available in 84% of CBS Sports leagues. And then just deeper leagues, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I believe he's inside of 10% owned. So he's out there in a bunch of leagues. Next 2 weeks, looks like he's going to play a lot for the Eagles. It's not a bad thing.
You know, you better say his name right. It's J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Dave. He's Spanish.
I think both of them are acceptable.
That's true. Both players are very good, Arcega and Arcega. By the way, the Dolphins, this is interesting. Only one wide receiver in two games. They faced Baltimore barely through and the Patriots. Only one wide receiver has more than five targets. Only one wide receiver has more than 56 yards against the Dolphins. They have allowed five receiving touchdowns, though, to wide receivers. But it's interesting. You know, you just don't have to throw that much on them. So that's a game we'll preview. Jamie, you want me to go through the matchups for next week? Or do you have any guys you want to talk about?
James Washington, just to see if there is a connection between Mason Rudolph and him, I think is still worth it. If you have an open roster spot, I'll continue to say the same thing, Chris Herndon, because it sounds like Sam Darnold will be back in week five, and then Herndon will be back in week six. So if you can carry two tight ends, you know, he could be interesting.
Herndon's still available 85% of leagues.
Will Disley, you know, if last week is a sign of things to come for a team that is still searching for an additional target, you know, he had two touchdowns and could, you know, be one of those type of guys that not necessarily have to start week in, week out, but could be a streamer or a bye week replacement.
Cool.
So those would be a couple I'd look at.
All right. For next week, if you need a quarterback, if you're relying on Jimmy Garoppolo and Luke Falk, Jacoby Brissett against Oakland, Matthew Stafford against Kansas City. That could be fun. Case Keenum at the Giants, deep leagues. Kyle Allen at Houston, deeper.
That's if Keenum's still starting.
Why wouldn't he be? Oh, Haskins. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
At some point,
Keenum at least
switch.
Is playing well, but yeah, you're right. Jordan Reed at the Giants could be nice if Jordan Reed's back. Oh, by the way, is Jordan Reed back this week?
No.
No.
I don't know if he's going to be back anytime soon.
Chargers DST. stash them. Even if you don't want to play them this week, they are at Miami next week. They're about 75% owned. That might be the first thing I get on the waiver wire, the Chargers DST.
I'm actually playing them this week, and I will take my lumps with them this week just so I can use them in week four.
Denver DST against Jacksonville, and Gardner Minshew is amazing, so I don't know. Justin Jackson maybe at Miami. It's not easy to find running backs, but Jackson has a chance to, you know, get some garbage time work and just regular work and score against Miami. And then, look, I mean, you got a roster spot and somebody that's useless, just pick up a handcuff. This could be the week that the starter gets hurt. You never know. And then you have beaten the waiver wire. All right.
Yeah, Rex Burkhead, too. He's getting some, you know, carries, and they've been blowing out teams.
Yep, could be this week. Okay. Have you ordered a pizza online from Little Caesars yet? If not, you're missing out on Pizza Portal Pickup. What is Pizza Portal Pickup? It's like getting pizza right out of the oven yourself. You walk in, you enter a code on the portal, a door opens, and you're off with your favorite pizza. And whatever pizza you order, it'll have crazy, crazy amounts of toppings. It's fun. Give it a try, but it's only available at Little Caesars Pizza Pizza. I've always wanted to say Pizza Pizza. Man, Little Caesars was so good. We had that at the telethon. They sponsored the telethon. That stuff is great. Get that pizza portal. All right, let's get to the games. Here we go. Detroit at Philadelphia. So, Kerryon Johnson. Let's start with Kerryon Johnson. The Eagles are playing without defensive tackles Malik Jackson and now his backup Timmy Jernigan. Fletcher Cox apparently has not been his usual self. He's recovering from offseason foot surgery. And yet, their run defense has still been pretty good. They also are not playing with linebacker Kamu Grugier-Hill, who they like. He hopes to return next Thursday. But Kerryon Johnson, it's been a struggle. He had the touchdown catch last week. How comfortable are you starting him?
More so in PPR than non-PPR. I think, you know, this is kind of a discovery game. You know, if you drafted him in the late second, early third round, it's hard to bench him unless you have, you know, just great options on your team. So I can understand if you want to get away from him. But, you know, hopefully the move to get rid of CJ Anderson is to give him a couple more touches, not necessarily to give him, you know, 90% of the workload, because they're going to use Ty Johnson and they're going to give him some opportunities and maybe still JD McKissick as well. But I think, you know, you have an opportunity here to, you know, get him back to, I think, what we saw in week one when he had the 18 total touches. If he's in that range, I think he'll be successful against Philadelphia because, like you said, they're so beat up defensively. And, you know, they really haven't faced a great running team yet. You know, Washington in week one when Darius Geis was beat up, and then Atlanta last week with how Devontae Freeman's been looking. I think this could be, you know, I don't want to say it's the best rushing offense that they'll face because Detroit obviously hasn't shown that yet, but it could be. And it could be an opportunity for Kerryon Johnson to get going. Remember, it took him a little while last year to get going, too, and I think this could be the start of it.
Yeah, it's just sickening how they don't even use him on 60% of the snaps. He's been at 57% and 55% to begin the year. I'd like to think that that changes now with CJ Anderson gone, but Ty Johnson played well last week, and they used J.D. McKissick as their two-minute drill back. That's kind of gross. I thought Kerryon left some numbers on the field last week, to be honest with you, and he should have had a much bigger game. His first two carries, they should have been much longer runs. Taylor Decker has a chance to play this week. That'll help the offensive line. A little bit more on that when we get to Hockenson. You're going to start Kerryon Johnson. The workload should be there, and hopefully he does more through the air. I think Philadelphia, if I remember correctly, they're giving up about 10 yards per catch for two running backs. 9.5.
They have struggled with pass catching back so far this season.
Yep.
Yeah, on the ground, though, running backs are averaging just 2.93 yards per carry, but Chris Thompson had 7 for 68 receiving. Freeman had 3 for 42 receiving. Geis himself had 3 for 20. All right, so LeSean McCoy, if Damian Williams is out, or Kerryon Johnson?
I'll take Kerryon.
Yeah, Kerryon.
Nelson Agholor or Kerryon Johnson?
Kerryon.
I think it could be close in PPR, full PPR. I will check my rankings. I think I have Kerryon higher, but I'm going to double check.
I wish you guys had Agholor ranked similarly, but I think, Dave, you have him much lower than Jamie. Because Agholor is going to be like
I have Kerryon five spots ahead of him in full PPR.
Yeah, like Agholor a lot.
Yeah, Agholor is going to be kind of my this guy or this guy like flex comparison, I think. He's you know, great waiver wire pickup, somebody I'm excited about starting this week.
If the targets are there from, I think I said this on the video show yesterday, that he's had 6 games in his career with double digits in targets. In 5 of them, he scored at least 12 or more PPR points.
Double digits, yeah. All right, that's a lot. So because I have a stat on him as well, but fewer targets. But same concept. Stafford.
When the targets are up, he plays well. I mean, that's kind of right. For a lot of players.
Real head scratcher there, right? So Stafford, Dave made the case for him. Jamie, you have Stafford, what, like 15th or something?
16th. Yeah, I think he's a fine starter. You know, I just don't know where the ceiling is for him because he doesn't always reach his ceiling. And it took him, you know, his best game so far this season came five quarters against the worst defense, maybe aside from Miami in the NFL. So I think what we saw from him last week is kind of what the norm is going to be, you know, where he'll have a 300, 2-2 or a 250, 280, 2-2. You know, that's a good game. It's not a great game. You know, so he'll be in that 20-point range. You know, I think he's if he's the guy you picked up to play off waivers, you're certainly fine with him. The guy I go back and forth with him is Jacoby Brissett, because I think they're going to kind of be in the same range. Brissett's been averaging 20 points per game in his two starts. I think that's kind of where Stafford will be. He makes mistakes. He has turnovers. They still, like Dave said, this should be their identity. He's right, but they have an identity crisis for years. They don't know what they want to be, a run team or a pass team. And I think it could also depend on if Kerryon Johnson gets off to a good start, their run game goes off to a good start, they kind of will lean that way. It's a good way to slow down the Eagles and their offense. So I don't love Matthew Stafford to the same level that Dave does. I understand why he does. And for those of you that want to start him, God bless you. I'd start Josh Allen over him. I would start Jameis Winston over him. I would start Jacoby Brissett over him as of now.
I'm with you on Allen. The other two, I just can't get behind.
Yeah, I think there's higher ceilings for those guys.
Okay, Ty Johnson, by the way, just real quick. Do you think he's a beat the waiver wire PPR guy? Okay, like maybe
No. Like as far as like having him as a starter next week.
He needs an injury.
No, he's a stash guy. All right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. So he's not like
there's a difference between the two.
Okay. All right,
what do you mean he's not like
he's not going to be there. He's not going to be their pass catching guy. He's not going to be a PPR like 70 catch guy.
No, I think he's somebody that needs an injury to be successful for your fantasy.
Right. Okay. So he's not going to be a starter in week four unless something happens to Kerryon.
All right then. So that's Ty Johnson. Kenny Golladay is a must start guy. Who's the second best wide receiver in this game? Is it Aguilar?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Any interest in Marvin Jones or Danny Amendola?
It's no on Amendola.
No for both.
Yeah. Like okay. Marvin Jones is behind all the guys we picked up off waivers this week.
Carson Wentz. He is 10th for Jamie, 11th for Dave, and 7th for Heath. I'm sure you guys would like him better if he had his weapons. He's also not running. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 4 yards per game this year. He averaged 8.5 last year. He averaged 23 rushing yards per game two seasons ago when he was at his best. So it's early. It's just two games, but I'd like to see that go up. But Josh Allen or Carson Wentz?
Allen.
Allen.
Okay. So bottom
Stafford
line,
too.
He's not a bad starter, but he's not a great starter this week, Carson Wentz. Now, Miles Sanders, I'm sure, is the only Philadelphia running back you'd have interest in. Sanders or Kerryon Johnson?
That's not close.
You can't feel good about starting Sanders. He looks good. And he's playing a decent amount, but I don't think you can start him.
Okay. So carry on. So Sanders or Frank Gore?
Gore.
Yeah.
I'd start Wilkins over Sanders, too, if he's a starter.
Okay. So here's my Nelson Aguilar stat. It's actually not that good. I thought it was better. In 2018, he had 7 or more targets 7 times. He had more than 60 receiving yards only 3 times. And within those 7 games, he had 3 games with double-digit targets. Could this really be right? He had 33, 88, and 22 yards in 3 games with double-digit targets. Nick Foles started 2 of those 3 games, not Wentz. But honestly, like, I just don't really care. If he's going to get a lot of work against the Lions, he's probably going to be good, right? Like, let's not overcomplicate it.
No, I think it's one of those scenarios of it's who you're starting over. Like, I would start him over Stephon Diggs, for example. Now, that's probably risky just given what the name value is, but the production already through 2 weeks shows you that Aguilar in a featured role is better than Diggs in his role. Right now, that could change this week against Oakland. I have no problem if somebody's going to say Stephon Diggs is better. I can't tell you that he's not just based on the only thing I tell you that he's not is just based on what we've seen from this Minnesota offense. But if you still want to start Stephon Diggs over Aguilar, by all means do so. I think it's an opportunity here for him when he's playing with Matt Collins and J-Jaw that if you're Carson Wentz, what you saw in that game against the Falcons with 16 targets going to Ertz and 11 targets going to Aguilar, that's what they do. It's like Andy Reid's offense. They just consolidate targets to the main guys in their team. Now, they're probably not going to be in a situation where they're chasing points or in an up-tempo type of game, because I don't think Detroit's offense is going to operate like that. So I don't know if he's going to get to the 11 targets from Aguilar's perspective, but you know, he should be the second highest targeted player in this offense, which should lead to quality production as long as Darius Slay is not chasing him over the field, which I don't think is going to be the case.
No, and maybe I'm just overvaluing Justin Coleman in the slot for Detroit, but I think last week injuries happened in the middle of the game. Maybe Carson Wentz, I don't know if it was panic, but just wanted to rely on those guys that he knew last week. And Jay-Jaw and Hollins, just they don't have that type of experience. After a week's worth of practice, I would expect them to get more targets and to get more work in the offense. And I think that's, you attack Detroit away from Darius Slay. That's obviously going to work in favor of Aguilar, but I think Aguilar is going to be covered tight too. So I like him. I guess I just don't like him as much as you guys do. I think he's still a very good PPR, probably close to a number two wide receiver in PPR, but not non-PPR, and a great daily play.
Yeah, right. We can all agree on that. His price in daily, Nelson Aguilar's price is crazy. Zach Ertz, 16 targets, so he might also be, even though he's expensive, he might also be a great play in DFS. He might just have his huge breakout game of this season, hasn't scored yet. And Philadelphia's DST, 12th for Jamie, 10th for Heath, not ranked for Dave. Not sure that this is a game where you want to be targeting these DSTs. But what you do want to be targeting, if it's available on your waiver wire, is the SeatGeek app. I would definitely recommend stashing. Beat the waiver wire. Get the SeatGeek app. And when you need tickets, you need to be using SeatGeek. Millions of tickets in one place. Search for sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. And this is a real personal endorsement. I do use SeatGeek all the time. Sports, concerts, comedy, went to theater, you know, whatever it is. SeatGeek is just the place I go to get tickets. Over 50,000 five-star reviews in the App Store. How's that for customer satisfaction? It's a better process. SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web so you don't have to. Rates the deals on a scale of 1 to 10. You can find the best bargains right there. You can sort by price. You can include all of the fees. I love that. You're getting the actual price. It's not like, oh, you clicked that, you think that's the price, and bam, more fees. No. SeatGeek breaks down the details. The green dots mean good deals. The red dots are overpriced. So get on SeatGeek right now and use the promo code FFT for $10 off your first purchase. That's our promo code. It's FFT. Download the SeatGeek app or go to SeatGeek.com and use that promo code FFT for $10 off your first purchase. Pittsburgh at San Francisco. All right, you know the stat of the game. It's about the wide receivers with six or more targets dating back to last year. Now 24 out of 27. Wide receivers with six or more targets have had 70 yards or a touchdown against the 49ers. That is just unbelievable.
So this is the week for Dante Moncrief.
I do wonder if it's James Washington.
It might be Vance McDonald.
But I didn't do a tight end stat. That's just wide receivers.
I know, but this is still a guy who can get six or more targets against San Francisco.
But you know, it sets up nicely for Juju. So if you're nervous about him, if he can't do it against San Francisco, that might be a problem. And then Connor, we talked about briefly yesterday. Look, he's been bad, but I looked at, he's got 21 carries in two games. But in the first half, he has 15 carries in two games. So they just got to stay in the game. And he also left.
Yeah, right. He left last week with the knee.
So he would have had more, probably.
Yeah. He left with the knee injury, but they got blown out in week one. So he has to, one, stay healthy, and two, stay in the game. Do you think this is a competitive game?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So, Dave, as I recall, you were lower on Connor, right?
Yeah. I have him as a number two running back this week. I think he's got a good chance. I think he could actually see an uptick in catches. We saw that from Rudolph last week where he leaned on both the running backs. I am a little concerned about Jalen Samuels taking some touches away from Connor. I'm glad he practiced yesterday. It looks like he's going to be on track to play. Let's see if the Steelers commit to him the way we thought that they would back in August.
It just makes
now
sense.
Now that he's banged
them.
Up. Right. Because he's banged up, right?
No, it makes sense for them to commit to him because of the quarterback change.
See, I would go the other way and say that it makes sense to not commit to him and give Jalen Samuels some work because James Conner was banged up. That's one of the reasons why I don't have him as high as I normally rank him.
Yeah, and San Francisco's run defense hasn't been so bad, especially with Kwon Alexander. Before he got ejected in week one, the Tampa Bay running backs were averaging 4 yards per carry. And then in week two, the Cincinnati running backs were awful. He's a little pricey for me in DFS, but I understand you drafted James Conner in the first round. You're not sitting him. So, yeah, Juju, yes. James Washington, he's 53% owned. Is he a stash or is he a start?
He's not a start, but he's a stash. I mean, it's total connecting the dots. You know, you have a backup quarterback coming in who's worked with a guy, not just on the scout team, not just in the preseason, but also they have a college rapport together. And the guy in front of him has been absolutely dismal.
Sure. Vance McDonald. Yeah, no, Moncrief's time is over. Vance McDonald, top 12, eighth for Dave. So McDonald or Witten?
McDonald.
It should be McDonald.
By the way, thank you for those garbage time points last night, Delanie Walker. Much appreciated.
Yeah, good in PPR, not so good in non-PPR.
Didn't he have 70 yards or something? Wasn't bad.
7 for 64.
64. Not so good. TJ Hockenson or Vance McDonald?
Vance.
McDonald.
I am sorry. I forgot Hockenson about Hockenson.
Hockenson did a lot of blocking. Hockenson did a lot of blocking last week, and I think that that obviously takes away targets. And I think Stafford's just looking downfield a little bit more. And, you know, not playing against Arizona, it's going to impact how you do. And I think Hockenson's going to be needed to help protect Stafford. So I feel like Hockenson is still good enough to start, but I'd rather go with McDonald.
Okay, I did forget about Hockenson when we did Detroit, Philadelphia. My apologies. Yeah. He's right around 10th or 11th for all three guys. So you can start him, but he's not like a top five guy or anything like that. And that's it for Pittsburgh. We go over to San Francisco. All right, Jimmy Garoppolo or Jacoby Brissett? Who's a better streamer this week?
Garoppolo.
I think I have Garoppolo higher.
Are there any typical starters at quarterback that you'd start Garoppolo over?
Baker.
Ah, hey, there we go. Okay, Garoppolo's around 14th Dalton. In the rankings.
In case you were thinking about Andy Dalton, I would sit him for Garoppolo too.
Let's talk about those running backs. Breida, Mostert, Wilson. What do we expect this week against the Steelers?
Breida and Mostert to split most of the work and, you know, your dart throat at Jeff Wilson.
Split Mostert the work.
Yeah, right.
Most of the work, yes.
I crunched numbers on how the 49ers were using their running backs for the first 2 weeks of the season. Raheem Mostert has more red zone snaps, targets, and catches than anybody else on the 49ers. And he had more carries than Breida last week. Breida has one red zone snap through two games. I mean, Tevin Coleman in a half of football had more than he did. So I think they like Breida between the 20s, and I think when they get close to the red zone, they don't want him to get banged up, or at least for the first 2 weeks of the season, that's what they wanted to do. I think Mostert might be the better bet in fantasy, and he catches more passes. So he's my favorite running back in San Francisco, but he's not, he's barely on the RB2 radar.
Guys,
he's a good flex.
I keep bringing this up, and I'm the only one who feels this way, I think. I just think the score dictated the snaps last week.
I'm with you. I think Breida's still the better of the two. I could see a scenario where Mostert is better because this is what this offense is going to be. It's what this offense is always going to be. When they have the opportunity to use two guys, they're going to use two guys. So the second guy can be better than the first guy. And if you want to believe that Mostert is the first guy, Breida could still be better than him. If you want to believe that Breida is the first guy, Mostert could be better than him. It's just a matter of, did they put Mostert into Tevin Coleman's role and say, we're not changing what we're going to do with Matt Breida, no matter who is in there, unless they're all gone like what we saw last year. So this was always going to be what Breida does, is the second guy, maybe between the 20s and Coleman was always going to be the red zone guy. Coleman was always going to be the pass catching guy, and they're not changing that. So for this week, Mostert could be better. I would still trust Matt Breida more because I think he's still the more talented of the two.
And would you start either of them over Miles Sanders?
Both.
Both.
Okay. Both over
the Chiefs guys if both play. Both over the Colts guys if Marlon Mack is not there.
Both over Latavius Murray.
Yeah, easy. Right,
yeah, okay. But then Jeff Wilson, by the way, sorry, there was a report that Jeff Wilson could get the red zone work. And not just a report, but like I think kind of a quote.
Yeah, we heard it from Kyle Shanahan. That's a pretty good source.
So yeah. Then what the
He's
hell?
Second on the team in red zone touches.
I think you're hoping for him to find the end zone. That's never a good situation to sort of gamble on your fantasy roster unless you're in a touchdown only league. But I think it could be messy. You know, I think you want to view these guys most likely as all of them as flex options, none of them as must start guys, but very good flex options in terms of the top two, in terms of Breida and Mostert.
All right, let's wrap here. Are you confident enough to start a San Francisco wide receiver? And if so, who would it be?
No, and it would be Debo.
Okay. Get Debo on your bench.
But also same thing with Marquise Goodwin. He's going to be one of those guys like how you viewed DeSean Jackson before DeSean Jackson had 9 catches in week 1. He's going to be that type of player where not as good, but you know, the big play every other week he'll score. Sometimes he'll score twice. Mm-hmm. Most weeks he'll have 2 catches for 30 yards.
San Francisco DST is top 10. You can start the Niners DST. George Kittle, start him. All right, guys, we have 4 minutes left in our video show and we're doing this game. We are doing New Orleans, Seattle. You have just 4 minutes to do it. Stat of the game, the Seahawks allow the third most fantasy points to tight ends through 2 games, facing Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. Jared Cook had 7 targets, second most on the team. In week 2, he had 5 targets after Drew Brees' injury. He still got targets compared to everyone else other than Michael Thomas. Jared Cook or some of the guys we've talked about so far, like Vance McDonald, TJ Hockenson, who would you go with?
I'll take the other guys ahead of Cook. Okay. Just not ready to trust him. I've got a lot of questions about how the Saints are going to use their quarterbacks and what their offense will look like on the road, second week in a row, and they practice all week in Seattle. I'm kind of nervous about the Saints this week.
I don't blame you. You can't start one of their quarterbacks. We don't know what the splits are going to be. Alvin Kamara, you're going to start. Latavius Murray, you're going to sit, right?
Correct.
Okay. Seattle is allowing 3.75 yards per carry to opposing running backs, and that's only because Benny Snell had 1 carry for 21 yards. Otherwise, they've dominated Connor and Mixon and Geo, basically. I know Connor scored. Okay, Michael Thomas, starting him, right?
You have to.
Oh. Yep.
Jared Cook, we're avoiding. So then Seahawks are more interesting. Russell Wilson, start or sit?
Start him. You know, I think you've seen enough of this Saints defense that they're just not very good.
They're not as good as we thought they would be. He's top 10 for me.
Okay, so how does he compare to Wentz and Allen, who I know are right around top 10 as well?
Better than Wentz, behind Allen.
Yep. I got him ahead of Goff, Jameis, and then all the guys that you might consider streamers, save for Stafford. I like Stafford one notch better.
Chris Carson, top 10 this week? I believe he is, right? All right.
I'm believing in Carson until I see them really go full on to Rashad Penny.
2 fumbles in 2 games.
I know. I got to see it first.
Just to give you something interesting for Sunday. So we have every week, his name is Tom Spencer. He is, I don't know his exact
CBS. Editorial consultant?
Yeah, he's basically in the booth with Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. And he comes on Fantasy Football Today every Sunday and gives us all the inside information about the game that the main CBS crew is doing. And it's absolutely awesome. It's my favorite segment on Sunday. It might be my favorite segment that we do all week because he's so good. And he will give us the insight on what the Saints are going to do at their quarterback position because he will have, you know, been in the coaches' meetings.
Jamie, can I cut you off just so we can get this game in for the video?
No,
people?
Watch it Sunday at 12 o'clock Eastern on CBS Sports HQ.
All right, I do apologize. But Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf.
10 a.m. Eastern, excuse me. 10 a.m. Eastern.
Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and Will Disley is where we have a hard out here for this game. How do you feel about the pass catchers for the Seahawks?
Lockett is a must start. Metcalf is a very good number 3 receiver or potential flex. And Disley's a good streaming tight end.
Same.
Okay. Disley or Hockenson?
Hockenson.
I'll take Hock.
DK Metcalf.
Disley is better than Jimmy Graham. He's better than Kyle Rudolph. He's better than Vernon Davis.
He's better than Jared Cook.
Better than Jared Cook, too.
There you go.
Yes.
DK Metcalf or Nelson Aguilar?
Aguilar.
I think I actually have Metcalf ranked higher. I'll see if I stick with that.
DK Metcalf or David Montgomery?
Montgomery.
Montgomery and non-PPR. Probably Montgomery and both.
Last one, Metcalf or Josh Jacobs?
Metcalf and PPR.
Yep.
And we like the Seahawks DST. They are 7th for Dave and Jamie. They are 5th for Heath. They were great against Cincinnati. They were against Pittsburgh, but backup quarterback situation here for the Saints. And we did it. We previewed a game in four minutes.
They had a backup quarterback last week, too.
That's true. They weren't really that good.
Can we do the rest of the games in 4 minutes?
I think we can. I think we just proved to ourselves that we can do a game in 4 minutes. That's terrific. All right. We'll be back with the audio portion. Thanks to our video crew. But, you know, go watch the video. YouTube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. For the video viewers, we'll talk to you on Sunday night. For the audio listeners, we'll talk to you in like 3 seconds. Okay, time now for my favorite part of the show, where apparently Dave and Jamie have moved to the smelliest room in the world. And
it's
have
so
to-
bad. It's I hate it.
Have you ever been in a smelly taxi cab?
Yes, many times.
Okay, imagine that without wheels.
I'd rather be in a smelly taxi cab. Right,
you
now.
Would?
Because I can get out.
You can get out of this room. There's doors right over there.
No, I'm contractually obligated to be on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, why don't we just move the equipment to somewhere else in the office? We have this whole huge office. There's somebody's office that's probably open. We should go to Michael Kaiser's office and do the podcast there.
Yeah.
Can we stop doing what we're doing and move?
No.
Just finish,
please. Denver at Green Bay. Do we know if Denver's going to have cornerback Bryce Callahan, and what would that mean in this game?
He's questionable. You're still starting Davante Adams. And Aaron Rodgers.
Limited practice the last 2 days. He would be their slot corner. It really doesn't change a ton.
Okay, so...
It probably means you don't want to start Geronimo Allison.
Who would you start over Aaron Rodgers?
Dak, Lamar, yeah. Mahomes,
like he's top
Watson,
six for me.
Brady.
I know that he hasn't given you the numbers that you want, but...
It's coming.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
Okay. It's just... Yeah, not a great matchup. If it were a better matchup, he'd be higher, I'm sure. And the top five, Mahomes, Jackson, Prescott, Watson, Brady. That's, you know, pretty good top five this week. Do you like any of the running backs in this game?
Aaron Jones, a lot.
Yeah?
That's a good one.
Why? Because they've been a good run defense. They've just given up touchdowns to Josh Jacobs and who did they play last week?
Sorry. Dalvin Cook? No,
Denver.
Oh. I thought you were talking about.
They played Montgomery, David Montgomery, but
I mean, the Bears barely ran in that game.
Well, no, Montgomery had 18 carries and Jacobs had 23, unless I'm wrong.
In fact, their first two games.
Yeah, I am.
I think you're going to get a quality game out of Aaron Jones. I think he's a very good start. It seems as if they fixed their run issues in week two against a better run defense with Minnesota. So, you know, I think this is. You know, if you look at the Broncos' first two games, this is the best offense that they faced.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They played Oakland and Chicago.
You know, it's how are they going to defend everything? And I think you're going to get Aaron Jones may not have 100 in a touchdown, but I could see 80 in a touchdown. And I like the involvement in the passing game last week.
And I know that we shouldn't ignore what Matt LaFleur is saying about trying to even up the snaps between Jones and Jamal Williams.
They're basically even to begin with.
They're even in snaps. They're not even in touches. And I just think that Aaron Jones has proven through the first 2 weeks, well, at least last week, that he's the better running back of the two. And I would expect him to continue to get better opportunities than Jamal Williams.
Would you start him over Kerryon Johnson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you start Aaron Jones or Emmanuel Sanders in this game?
Jones. I don't like Sanders this week.
You could talk me into Sanders in full PPR because I do like Sanders.
I don't know how I feel about Sanders. I had him in a FanDuel lineup, then I was like, I don't know if I like that. So I took him out of my FanDuel lineup. Dave, why do you like
him?
He's
better seasonal than he is in daily.
It depends on what price you get him at.
He's kind of cheap on FanDuel.
But you could probably find, like, you'd go for the cheaper price point of Aguilar over Emmanuel Sanders.
Yes, that's exactly what I did, actually, because I didn't even see Aguilar. And then I searched for him. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I took Sanders out. But, like, Sanders is $200 cheaper than Larry Fitzgerald. How would you compare that?
Forget it. You're going to go with Larry.
Right. That's kind of what I thought. I just didn't have the money. Dave, you like Sanders, though, and Jamie does not.
I definitely like Emmanuel Sanders. He's not just going to line up against Jair Alexander all game long. He can play in the slot and move around. And Joe Flacco's the one who's throwing the football, and Flacco's been giving him 25% of the target share. And he's fast, and he can make plays after the catch, and he's getting looks in the end zone. There's a lot to like about Emmanuel Sanders. So while I won't gravitate toward him in DFS, he's still going to be in my fantasy lineups in my regular leagues.
Yeah, I try to get away from Vikan. I think you'll see the Packers secondary and their defense as a whole. They're going to make things tough on Flacco. I don't think he's going to have a lot of time to throw.
I do think that Alexander will line up on Sanders enough that it'll make it uncomfortable for him. And so after Allen Robinson had a good game against the Packers secondary, they did a much better job against the Vikings guys last week. They gave the touchdown to Stephon Diggs, but did a good job in containing Adam Thielen. I think if you look at Thielen's stat line, that's about where Sanders will be. So don't love Sanders as a must-start guy this week. I think he's at best number three receiver.
Thielen had 5 for 75 on 8 targets. If Jimmy Graham plays, would you start him?
No.
Okay. And Green Bay DST is in play here. 2 good games so far. Denver, not haven't been a great matchup for DSTs, but this looks like a good spot for the Packers. Last question. We talked about Adams. You're starting him. We talked about Sanders. Are there any other wide receivers that you could see having good games here?
Nope.
No, Valdez-Scantling is a dart throw.
Okay, now the last question. I do think we owe the Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman owners 30 seconds of our time. What do you tell them?
Freeman's played better. Got to hand it to him.
He's a better talent.
He's got maybe he's got more catches and targets on or fewer catches and targets on the same amount of yards. He's been more efficient. That's the best way to put it. And they're basically playing 50.
Are you starting them?
No,
I would start Freeman over Lindsay. Both of them are flexes.
Frank Gore or
Gore.
Yep.
Okay. Oakland at Minnesota and your stat of the game. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen have 20 targets on Kirk Cousins' 42 passes. Is that right? I think that's right.
How many catches do they have on Kirk Cousins'
not that
21
many.
Completions?
Well, I don't know about Thielen, but Diggs only had one last week. So, but that's the point. Like, Cousins doesn't throw much, but he throws to them. And stat of the game number 2, I already gave, is about Tyrell Williams. Minnesota allowing 100 yards or a touchdown to 4 wide receivers in 3 games. But only one wide receiver has more than 64 yards.
Okay, so Thielen has 8 catches, and he's given you at least 12 PPR points per game. Diggs has 3 catches this season on 9 targets.
He also had a second touchdown called back on a bad call.
That's true.
So, I mean, Oakland's not good. And I know, Jamie, who did you say? You'd start Aguilar over Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, are most Stephon Diggs owners comfortable starting Stephon Diggs? Like, what do you think?
I mean, I would say that you're starting him by default.
I'm more excited. Like, okay, JB up in 26th, Jamie 29th. Heath has Diggs 38th. Look, there have been 4 wide receivers who had 6 to 8 targets against the Raiders, and all 4 of them had 12 or more fantasy points in PPR, I believe. Now, Watkins is an exception. He had a lot of targets, and for some reason, he had a bad game. But, all right, listen to Dave and Jamie. He's a number 2 wide receiver. Everybody's going to start Thielen, I assume.
Thielen's better easily in PPR.
I mean, Darren Waller, is he the only Raider you're excited about? Are you even excited about him?
I mean, you're starting him.
I'll be okay with him if Tyrell Williams plays, because if he doesn't play, it's going to make it just that much easier for Minnesota to wipe him away. But I would expect a lot of check down passes, short area passes to the sideline like we've been seeing from him. And I think if the Raiders are chasing points, he could get as many as 9 catches in the game.
He feels like such a safe play in PPR. It's just he's going to get so many targets.
Yep, I agree.
And then Josh Jacobs, we talked about at the top of the show, number 2 running back. I think, you know, what concerns me is, like, he had 23 carries against Denver. He had just 12 against Kansas City. If he gets 12 carries against the Vikings, it's going to be a terrible game for him, unless they get him involved in the passing game, which they haven't so far. Does that concern you? I mean, what do you think? Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about another beat-the-waiver-wire guy, Jalen Richard. We saw it last year. If Jacobs misses any time, he'll play more.
We also mentioned DeAndre Washington as a possibility to play more as well.
Right, that's who would split the job.
Yeah, but you'd want the passing downs guy in this offense more so, if it's not Jacobs.
Oh, we've had this argument. We had it 2 years ago. I'm not going to disagree.
All right.
I think Richard's earned it.
Start Dalvin Cook, just a suggestion. It's going to be good. Minnesota's DST is top 6. Kyle Rudolph is outside the top 20. Miami at Dallas. All right. Kenyon Drake. Start or sit? He had 5 catches last week. That
start
was cool.
All, sit all. There's your move on.
Well, Randall Cobb and Devin Smith. What do you think about them?
Devin Smith is a good GPP play, and Daly. And if you're somehow really struggling at wide receiver, you can go with Devin Smith.
Yeah, I'm starting him, Adam, in the Dynasty League that we share.
Over who?
Oh, good for you, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you. Or who are you starting him over?
Well, I've been decimated. We've been decimated by injuries. So we don't have Tyreek Hill. We don't have Michael Gallup. We played last week. We don't have, there's another, Tevin Coleman, because we play two flexes. So our two flexes this week are Greg Olsen and Devin Smith.
Would you like to trade for Carlos Hyde?
No.
Wait, would you rather start Greg Olsen or Devin Smith?
Olsen.
In all seriousness, like, is Kenyon Drake even a top 30 running back this week?
No, you can't feel good about starting
him. He's not even a top 50 running back this week.
The only reason why he should still be on a fantasy roster is on the hope that he gets traded and finds himself in a better situation.
Okay. You like Randall Cobb better than Smith, right?
Yeah.
Would you start Randall Cobb or Tyrell Williams?
I'll take Smith in non-PPR.
All right. Would you start Randall Cobb, Devin Smith, or Tyrell Williams?
Tyrell.
Still Tyrell.
Okay. Last one, Randall Cobb or Cole Beasley?
Beasley.
Beasley.
Dave and Jamie will tell you that Witten's okay. Heath does not like Witten. He's got him 20th. Jamie has Witten 13th in non-PPR, 12th in PPR, and he's 8th and 9th for Dave in non-PPR and PPR. Dallas
DST
is good. Yeah, he'll probably score. Dallas DST, number one for Dave and Jamie, number two for Heath. Carolina at Arizona. All right, sit Kyle Allen, I'll say. Start Christian McCaffrey. What do you do about the Carolina wide receivers?
I think they're much easier to start in PPR because I think volume helps them tremendously. That's especially the case for DJ Moore. And non-PPR, I think Moore is still better than Samuel, and they're probably closer to flexes in that format.
Okay. They're better than like Randall Cobb and Devin Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Would you start Curtis Samuel or Tyrell Williams?
Samuel.
I'd go Tyrell.
Curtis Samuel. Or how about this, DJ Moore or Nelson Agholor?
Moore.
Okay.
He's a top 10 receiver. What are you talking about?
For Heath, he is. Christian McCaffrey, by the way, I just want to mention, Arizona's done a really good job, 3.38 yards per carry to running backs, which is surprising. Kerryon Johnson, C.J. Anderson, Mark Ingram. They all had 11 to 16 carries, but failed to reach 50 rushing yards. So by no means am I saying anything negative about McCaffrey. I just want to see what happens here. And if Arizona, maybe a new scheme, I don't know. It just has a better run defense this season. Greg Olsen, you know, it was looking like such a great situation, and I want to know how you feel about it now without Cam Newton. We're assuming no Cam Newton. Arizona went from allowing the fewest fantasy points to tight ends last year to currently the most by far. So are you still excited about Greg Olsen?
Yes. I think I don't think this is that big of a downgrade at quarterback for Carolina. And I think Kyle Allen knows that he can lean on Greg Olsen. He didn't have Olsen when he played in week 17. He had Ian Thomas, and Thomas scored. So he knows he's a competent quarterback. He's just not great, obviously. He's going to be able to get the job done. He's better than you think, and he's a tremendous value in DFS as well, Kyle Allen.
Yeah, play him over Daniel Jones. Play him over Mason Rudolph. Play him over the Saints guys if you're looking at all the backups.
All right, so I think Kyler Murray, he has thrown for 300 yards two straight games. He's done it against Baltimore and Detroit. They run a lot of plays.
They stall out in the red zone.
So how do you feel about Kyler Murray?
If they didn't stall out as much in the red zone, and if I thought that...
He's not a great start. We're going to find out if this Panthers defense is legit. You know, they did a good job against Jared Goff in week one, but is that Goff or is that the Panthers defense? They did a good job against the Bucks, but again, is that Tampa or is that the Panthers defense? Both those games at home, this one's on the road. So I think Kyler is in that Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Jacoby Brissett range of if you need to start them, start them. If you are concerned, find another alternative. Jimmy Garoppolo or Josh Allen being the way.
If I thought that Carolina's secondary was overrated, I would be all in on Kyler Murray this week. Like top 10 all in. He's making unreal throws. But I can't trust him because of the red zone problems and because I do buy into the Panthers secondary. At least on the outside.
Yeah. They've certainly been tested so far. They've faced three Rams receivers, two Bucks receivers, and only Chris Godwin has had like a huge game.
Right. So inside receivers typically do very well against them.
Okay, so Larry Fitzgerald?
And you know where Fitzgerald and Kirk line up. So I like Fitzgerald and Kirk. I think they can get a lot of catches and yards. I just don't know how many touchdowns they're going to be able to score.
How would you rank the four main wide receivers in this game?
In
Fitzgerald, Moore, Kirk, Samuel.
It's going to be Fitzgerald, Kirk, Moore, Samuel for me.
So we like Christian Kirk this week?
I do.
Yeah, good number three receiver. Better in PPR than none.
Also a good value in daily.
Kyler Murray or Matthew Stafford?
I have Stafford higher.
I like Stafford better.
Kyler Murray or Jameis Winston?
I have Winston ahead of Kyler. But I'm kind of confident that Winston can start to put some touchdowns together.
Yeah,
I like how he played in the second half last week. And it's the Giants.
Yeah, so why don't we go to that game? Giants at Tampa Bay, our last game. And Daniel Jones, no. But Saquon Barkley, yes. What about Sterling Shepard? 75% owned.
Good number three receiver this week.
Yep.
What do you think I'm going to ask you right now?
Aguilar over Shepard.
No, I was going to go. I was going to go Kirk.
Kirk over Shepard.
Yep.
All right, Shepard or Devontae Freeman?
Shepard and PPR. Nah, Freeman.
I'm going to give Freeman one last shot.
I'm so interested to see what Daniel Jones can do.
Me too. I think he can be good.
Yeah.
I think the Giants can win.
Well,
there's 2 6-point underdogs that I think can win this week. I would pick them to win.
Giants,
it's the Giants,
and
it's the Steelers.
Dolphins. Oh, the Steelers.
The Dolphins, too many.
21.5 or something. Evan Engram, you're starting.
Not enough, I guess I should say.
So how about Jameis Winston? Is he a top 10 guy this week?
No, but top 11.
Ooh, okay. Top 11, top 12. Jameis Winston. All right, cool. Jameis Winston or Josh Allen?
Allen.
All right, but we like Jameis. And then
I got Winston 13th. Just like I said, it's a good matchup, and I think he's trending in the right direction.
Would you start?
Yeah, start him over Goff. Start him over Baker.
Oh, jeez, man. Would you start?
I got Goff a spot higher.
Peyton Barber over a San Francisco running back.
No. Wilson.
Well, over your favorite San Francisco running back.
No, I would take Mostert ahead of him.
Okay, and Jamie would take Breida ahead of him. And I think Mostert, right?
Yeah, both. You should.
All right. Mike Evans to me is a FanDuel play. I get right game. This has to be it. So Godwin, everybody's going to start Godwin.
He's had a great history against the Giants.
And if it's not it, I don't know when it's going to come because he's at the Rams, then he's at the Saints, and then Carolina in the UK, and then
bye. He'll beat up the Saints. He usually does.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I can't express you how bad the Giants defense is. I think that's the second worst defense in football. But it's definitely bottom five. They have no pass rush. So
it will be the second worst defense in football once Patrick Peterson is back for the Cardinals.
I think the Giants defense is worse than the Cardinals, but the Cardinals run a lot more plays, I'm guessing. So maybe they'll give up more fantasy production. But gosh, it's so bad. OJ Howard, what do you think?
Can't trust it.
Don't cut him. Find an alternative if you can. Jason Wynn's a good replacement option. But this could be the squeaky wheel game based on what Bruce Arians has been saying. And the match was favorable.
I had such a funny
bit. What's he been saying?
He's been saying that they're going to get him more targets.
Oh, wait. All right. So would you start a waiver wire tight end over Howard?
I'd start Witten over.
And obviously Olsen, right?
Yes.
Start Witten over Howard. Okay. I had such a funny bit planned for the Titans game. Every time I talked about the game, I was going to be like,
holding. Number 46.
I was going to be like, but then Derrick Henry got
personal foul, number two of the receiving team.
It was so funny what I was going to do. It was like, and then there was that pass play where it was like, oh, wait.
There are four fouls on the play.
But I forgot to do it. So there you go. Maybe I'll do it on the mailbag. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy
the game,
Friday.
Though.
Oh, I forgot a game? All right, let's do it. Go ahead, Jamie. Let's do it real quick.
The game is Gardner. Go bye.
For Jamie, for Jamie's headset, and for Dave, I'm Adam saying da 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 da.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.